Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services. Total Country Bob FM.
And today's Bob Almanac, soon to be followed by a Bob-a-thon and the beginning of the no-repeat workday. I'm sure those are all planned and ready to go. Almanac not planned, just off the cuff here. Here we go, shooting from the hip. Friday, October 4th, 278th day of the year, 1927. They actually started, this is, Borglum, the Borglum guy. He's the guy who did Mount Rushmore.
I've heard of him, yes. You know? I do know.
And they actually started carving. Now, if they were to do that today, obviously they would have computer renderings and laser-guided. It would all probably be automated. You wouldn't actually have a guy up there in a scaffold.
Right.
Chipping away, creating George Washington's nose as he's preparing to smell those hoe cakes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how they had to do it. And amazing how they were able to do it to such a scale and get them to look just like those presidents. I mean, it's amazing. Just the skill, the ability, the vision.
It's unreal.
The artistic wherewithal.
Right.
To do what they did without the same kind of technology that we have here today.
That's it's unbelievable. And it took a long time. Borglum did not see the finished product, sadly. How many years did it take them?
Oh, forever.
Forever.
I'd have to look it up.
I'd have to look
decades.
It up.
Decades. The first actual work of carving began on Mount Rushmore of this state. That was 1927. We're going to jump ahead exactly 30 years later.
Moscow newspapers were first. Then headlines around the world echoed the news. Russia had blasted a man-made moon into outer space. On every continent and in every land, the story of Sputnik 1 dominated the front pages. The Soviets had scored a scientific first, and the Moscow propaganda mill busily trumpeted the news.
They love their propaganda there out of Moscow, but hey, they had something to toot their horn over.
That they did. Absolutely. That was quite an achievement.
Sputnik 1, first man-made satellite. They won that part of the space race. Launched into space by the Soviet Union this date, 1957. We would soon follow. What was our, what was Mercury, wasn't it? It was the Mercury program.
Yep.
That would finally get something up there. And eventually, of course, we had man. Were we the first ones? Who was it? Was it Yuri Gagarin?
Yes.
Or was it our
first
guy?
One was John Glenn.
And John Glenn.
Yeah.
Godspeed, John Glenn.
But Neil Armstrong first on the moon.
We got there.
At the end of the decade.
It was.
14 years of construction on the Mount Rushmore.
14 like I
years.
Said, decades.
Yes. Decade.
About
and
one
a
and a half.
Almost.
This stayed in the news. Let's go to 1970.
The Hollywood coroner says an overdose of narcotics, police say possibly heroin, is responsible for the death of the well-known rock singer Janis Joplin. Miss Joplin was found dead in her bedroom last night. She was 27 years old.
Yeah, marred that group of 27.
Sad.
Janis Joplin found dead of a heroin overdose, as Walter Cronkite said there. She had just finished recording her second solo album, Pearl.
So sad.
The Blue Hornet says these days they would just employ a bunch of 3D printers and print the entire mountain. They wouldn't even worry about carving into the stone. Right. It'd just be 3D printing.
They were carving and using little dynamite. Oh, it was amazing.
Just think about that, the precision that was needed.
Yes.
1976 here this date.
Good evening. Our major story tonight is that Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz has paid the price for telling an obscene racial joke on a commercial airline flight. Secretary Butz resigned today. The president accepted with regret, but immediately. Closer to home, I have a new colleague to welcome. Barbara.
Thank you, Harry. Well, tonight is finally
coming. Barbara Walters, you know what? Japanese villagers gave Godzilla a warmer welcome than what Harry Reasoner gave to Barbara Walters right
her
there.
Her debut, and that's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not at all happy that he was sharing the desk with a woman. I'm pretty sure of it.
She proved to be pretty good at what she did.
Yeah, she took it and ran with it, no doubt. She rose above the fray, as we like to say. Yeah. But Barbara Walters joined Harry Reasoner in the anchor desk. ABC Evening News became the first female evening news anchor as they lured her from NBC over to ABC. this data. But I think that whole clip, I think you bury the lead, Neil, that we had a Secretary of Agriculture named Butts.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like a big old Boston butt.
Right.
Should a butt be. Steak. Thick, thick. What was that? Butt steak. Thick, sweet, rare, and meaty.
Mm.
And was it Seymour Butts? What was his first name? Elmore?
Elmore. I don't remember.
I got to go back. It's just the
Harry. No, it was Harry Reasoner.
Yeah, Earl, it's not Harry Butts.
Earl.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, Earl Butts. That's who it is.
Yeah.
So that was this date in 1976 on television. The exact same day, Barbara Walters is making her debut. This made its debut as well.
TV theme time.
One of my favorite shows.
Gentlemen, we're about to enter the fascinating sphere of police work, the world of forensic medicine.
Before all these other shows, your CSIs, all these other ones, you know, your Criminal Minds and all these other ones as far as forensic medicine and going in there and taking DNA and solving these crimes, there was Quincy.
Quincy.
There was Oscar Madison. And can you deny the flexibility of one Jack Klugman?
He's pretty good.
To go from Oscar Madison, a sloppy sports writer, to a medical examiner.
Yeah.
A coroner.
And he played both roles quite nicely.
Yes, exactly. And at the end of the show, he would usually get the gal.
Yeah. Wow.
Especially if that gal was a cadaver.
Right. You had a better chance.
But anyway, Quincy premiered on this date, 1976. Another premiere in 84.
The new boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood.
CBS, I don't know if they knew what they were getting into by putting Willie Ames and Chachi together. Scott Baio. It was dangerous. It was a risky proposition. But they did. Charles in Charge debuted on this date.
Never watched that.
Nicole Eggert was on it, though. You know her. She turned out to be kind of a model, kind of a starlet, if you will. So Charles in Charge premieres on CBS on this date. You weren't here, but I think on Jimmy Fallon's birthday, we played him singing that theme as Bob Dylan, which was a real treat. And I believe you can relive it on the archives at mybobcountry.com.
Of the Bob Almanac.
1987, it was not a good few weeks for the NFL.
Started as far as selecting our talent for our replacement team, and I just think you don't have to be a genius to look out there in the field and see that they've got better players across the board, almost at every position than we have.
Yeah, the Vikings, that's head coach Jerry Burns. As as grizzled as ever, I would say, as ruffled and messed up hair as ever, because he has to.
He sounded he's about coaching. As happy as Harry Reasoner. Right
he's
there.
Coaching these guys who should not be on an NFL football field, but it is what they presented. And it was the first Scab Sunday of NFL football replacement players as a result of the players' strike. Now, some teams took a different path. Some of them went out and got going early with replacement players. Vikings and Mike Lynn, they were a little bit late to the game, and it showed.
Yeah.
It showed. They went 0-3 in the three scab games, but still rallied to make the playoffs, and that's when they made the run to the NFC Championship.
That's right.
Before Darren Nelson had that one go off his hands at the goal line.
Catchable, certainly.
Very catchable. Not an easy catch.
But a catchable.
Very catchable ball, yes. That was a state 1987. 2017.
5 seconds. 3 seconds. No seconds. That's it. Title number 4 for the Minnesota Lynx dynasty comes with the taste of sweet redemption.
Yeah, they beat the L.A. Sparks, a team I think they had lost two in just the previous year.
Right.
You know, because they had won all the championships in the odd years.
Yeah, they win every other
year. Yeah. 2017, that's when they had to play at Williams Arena.
Oh,
because Target Center was going through the renovation. Right. Could this year be number 5? They need a win tonight, I think.
They do.
I mean, they could
I
come
do
back,
too. I mean, you're right. Like you say, it's not mathematical, but I think tonight, whoever wins tonight, certainly in driver's seat.
2022.
Well, I'm born to call.
Loretta Lynn was born Loretta Webb in Butcher Hollow, Kentucky, 1932. The second of 8 children of a coal miner. later turning her life in the poor Appalachian community into a 1970 number one song.
Actually singing about her life, kind of like what Dolly did.
Yeah, yes.
You know, she actually was a coal miner. It just wasn't, you know, speak. It just wasn't words. It was true. She was the daughter of a coal miner.
And I think he meant butcher holler.
Yeah, he said hollow.
Right.
Did he not?
He did.
Obviously
which is,
not
really
a country music fan.
Evidently.
He was probably a bigger fan of ASAP, whatever his name was yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
ASAP Jimmy. But anyway, this date in 2022, 2 years ago, we lost Loretta Lynn at the age of 90. Now, is she the first lady of country music or the queen of country music? Because those are interchangeable, and they've used them both for Loretta and Tammy Wynette.
She's the queen, I think.
She's the queen. Yeah. Okay, we got that. Let's move on to birthdays now.
Okay, then, listen. Let's not get caught. What are you talking about? Let's keep going. What do you mean? Go!
She wants you to drive over the cliff, Susan.
Yeah.
You sure? Yeah.
Instead of being captured by the feds and Harvey Keitel, they're just going to drive right over the cliff. Wouldn't that have been something that they ran out of gas? Just
came up
on their
short.
Way. Oh, just missed out on it. But that's Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
She is 78 today.
Fine actress.
She's an Oscar winner. Has been a lot of things.
Baseball movies.
I think a lot of people like her in the Bull Durham film as well. There she is with Gina Davis, who knows baseball films too.
Right.
League of Their Own.
Yes.
She's 78 today. You were a big fan of Django Unchained, I know.
I enjoyed that movie. Here.
What kind of dentist are you?
Despite that cart, I haven't practiced dentistry in 5 years. But these days, I practice a new profession. Bounty hunter.
And he pours a pretty good brew.
Yeah.
Do bartenders still use those sticks, like the tongue depressor anymore, to wipe off the froth and the...
It's kind of a lost art.
Yeah. They don't. They use it there back in the old-time saloons.
Right.
He's the bounty hunter. And you know what? Dentist and bounty hunter, that would be a good combo profession. Just think about it. You get the person in that you're trying to haul in, get him into your chair, perform some dentistry on him,
right,
which some people consider that to be torture. And either you're going to be able to haul him in or get a confession.
Right.
Don't you think? And you can put him under, give him some gas.
Yeah. We have
the authorities.
Yeah. That's good.
Right. And dentistry, of course. I mean, it's pretty expensive anyway. So what's more expensive, a bounty hunter or a dentist? You can combine the two.
Right. That's lucrative.
That's
right. What that is.
I tell you what, that prisoner had the best pair of choppers I've ever seen come through the prison doors there.
Right.
So that was, and that is the actor, Christoph Waltz, Oscar. Won an Oscar for Django Unchained and Inglorious Bastards. He won that
he was very
Oscar,
good at,
too. Yeah. Christoph Waltz. I'm sure he would prefer you say he's still very good.
I'm sure, yes.
Present tense, 68 today.
Okay.
One of the best assistant coaches in the history of college football. And he made his career right here in Minnesota with the Screaming Eagles.
No, I mean get her something like a birthday present.
Great. Like what?
I don't know. Let's see. It's, she's 19. What'd you want when you were 19?
I just wanted to pass Earth Science. Still do.
He was Dauber. He was Dauber. He and Luther Van Damme. Boy, what a staff.
What a staff
Hayden Fox had there, did he not?
Yeah, he did.
You know, Bill Fagerbakke was Dauber. Every now and then you'll see him on other shows as well. I think he showed up on Young Sheldon. And then he also is on SpongeBob. He's the voice of the star, Patrick Star.
Yes.
The starfish.
My grandson loves, my older grandson loves SpongeBob.
Bill Fagerbakke, 67.
Things are going great. They're only getting better. I'm doing all right, getting good grades. My future's so bright. I gotta wear shades.
Oh, you do remember this one-hit wonder?
Yeah,
yes.
I do, for
the
sure.
Group, one half of the group, it was a husband-wife duo that made up Timbuk 3.
What a great name,
Barbara Kay.
I love
it. It was a great name, Barbara Kay. Today, is 66.
Pretty quiet down now. Get some sleep.
Night, everybody.
Good night, Mama. Night, Ben.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Mama.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, children.
Good night, Daddy. Good night, Elizabeth.
Good night, John Boy. Good night, Jim Bob. Good night, Jim Bob.
Good night, Jim Bob.
What's going on? I was asleep. What's everybody doing?
Happy birthday, Jim Bob. Jim Bob Walton.
Okay.
Is having a birthday. David W. Harper. You know, by the time all the Waltons got done saying goodnight to each other, it's time to get up again.
Right. It was good
time
morning.
To get up in the morning. Yeah. The alarm was going off.
Right.
One of the Waltons' kids, Jim Bob Walton. And because of him, I had a friend who called me Jim Bob.
Okay. I can believe that. Yeah.
David W. Harper.
As the show went on, he kind of became, you know, after... Right, as John Boy got older and went away, then it was more Jim Bob stuff.
Yeah, and somebody had to take charge.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen wasn't going to.
No.
You know, she was off gallivanting around, and it wasn't going to be Grandpa. He died.
Right.
So David W. Harper was Jim Bob Walton, 63.
Here's where Dion lives. She's my friend because we both know what it's like to have people be jealous of us.
Girlfriend.
And I must give her snaps for her courageous fashion efforts.
Hey, Shan.
Dion and I were both named after great singers of the past who now do infomercials. So
yeah, Cher and Dion. That's the movie Clueless, and she was Cher. Cher Horowitz.
Okay.
She's also Batgirl.
Yes.
Alicia Silverstone, 48 here today. Let's go to the Addams Family house.
But if he's not Uncle Fester, then who is he? Somebody else. It has to warm up.
Why?
So it can kill you.
I knew that.
Putting Pugsley in old Sparky there.
Right.
It's amazing they even had that in their house. How many houses have an electric chair? Not many.
No.
Addams Family did, though. That was from the Addams Family movie.
You can get them on Amazon.
And he played Pugsley along with Wednesday. There's some really good interactions if you've seen that film. You know, it's the one with Raul Julia.
Yeah.
And what's her name as Morticia?
Yeah, Angelica
Houston.
There we go.
Bingo. So that's Jimmy Workman. And Pugsley is 34 today, Neil.
Wow.
When I was a child, my planet Krypton was dying. I was sent to Earth to protect my cousin. But my pod got knocked off course. And by
Who's your cousin?
My cousin had already grown
Clark
up
Kent?
And become Superman. And so I hid my powers.
So Melissa Benoist, she was TV's Supergirl.
Right? I hear that was good.
It was a good show.
Yeah,
we liked it. We watched it from beginning to end. And it's the last season of the Lois and Clark one.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, Superman, the story of Lois and Clark. It's a WB. It's on the WB.
WB.
Or the CW. I don't know what they call it now.
Yeah.
But Melissa Benoist, 36.
So this is just an interview for the newspaper. I just have a couple of questions.
Mr. Gray will see you now.
Fifty Shades of Grey, Dakota Johnson. Was that? I never saw that movie. Wasn't about a couple that owned a hardware store, a paint store.
I don't.
Fifty Shades of Grey.
So.
Wasn't that
no.
what it was? It was really kind of a family oriented show about a paint store. I guess they were running a Sherwin Williams and they had lots of gray.
I don't. No? I think you'll be disappointed if that's what you think it is.
The daughter of Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith too. Dakota Johnson, 35, and our rapper of the day is Lil Mama.
Sure.
Lil Mama, and I'm sure you could not forget her big hit song, Lip Gloss.
No, I certainly can't.
Exactly. I think I would know that. I think I would know that if I heard it, but I didn't want to bring it up.
All right.
Lil Mama, the rapper of the day, 35.
Gone but not forgotten today, Jim. We're going to start with our gone president of the day, Rutherford B. Hayes. Oh, B. Hayes was the 19th president of our United States. And he was born on this day. The year was 1822.
Was that Austin Powers there?
Yes.
I did detect that, yes.
Oh, behaves. Legendary. You know, along with Charlie Chaplin, the other guy who was most famous for the silent film work and did all of his own stunts. And if you've seen some of the movies, it's pretty incredible. Buster Keaton was the actor's name, and he was born on this day in 1895. TV personality, he filled in on evening talk shows I don't know. Did he ever have his own show?
I don't think so. But he did some stand-up comedy. You know, he'd show up on Ed Sullivan,
too. Yes, he would, yeah. And we're talking about Jan Murray, 1960.
Now some genius just thought of a new type of doctor show. This is a panel doctor show. This is beautiful. They use real sick people as contestants. Mean it. Producer goes to a hospital, finds a guy who needs an operation. Now he sneaks him out, wheels him into CBS. Out come three guys with surgical masks on. Two are actors, one is a real doctor. Now this poor sick guy who suddenly became a contestant, he's got to figure out the real doctor to operate on him. The name of the show is Guess Wrong and You're Dead. It's a heck of an idea.
That is a good bit, for sure. Jan Murray right there, born on this day, 1960. One of the greats, Academy Award-winning actor. It is. What else needs to be said when you're talking about Charlton Heston?
Damn you, you hairy scum! Shut up, you freak! Julius, you... I said shut up! It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
You know, the surprising thing is that wasn't the only time that Charlton Heston in his life needed to be hosed down.
Really? It happened more than once.
In fact, that's how he would take his showers. He would get a guy dressed up in a monkey suit.
Right.
And he would come here with a fire hose. You know, it's nice to say that, you know, Planet of the Apes, they were a little bit, let's say, technically challenged as far as innovations, but at least they had perfected the practice of pressurized water.
Water. Yeah,
they had they perfected pressurized water, which was very important in that madhouse.
Well, and it was indeed 1924 there for the fine actor Charlton Heston. Of course, Tombstone, Ten Commandments.
They're from right my there, cold the, dead hands.
Planet of the Apes, Airport 75, and the list goes on. And quite a few westerns too. Again, 1924. Jackie Collins was the sister of Joan. She was an author of very popular books, Hollywood Wives, Hollywood Husbands, and so on and so forth. I never read them. 1937, and we can mention Anne Rice because she was big in the Vampire Chronicles. She wrote some of those gothic type of things that I don't read. Anne Rice, 1941. It's a lean list, but we do have a gone rapper of the day, Jim. Do you know anything about Rich Homie Quan?
Is he related to I was born in a middle class family, Homie Quan?
It could very well have been.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to check the lineage there. 1989, and he died sadly of a drug overdose at a very young age. Rich Homie Quan, and they're all gone, but not forgotten.
You know someone I'm not supposed to know.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Just walk on by.
Your staff forgot Leroy Van Dyke, the auctioneer.
Well, we won't forget him in the Bob Vault on Sunday when I sit in for Jeff.
Just walk on.
So Leroy Van Dyke, 1929. And now.
They're all gone, but not forgotten. A real auctioneer, too.
Yeah. You can tell in the song.
For sure.
You almost have to have been to do that.
Quite
what he did there.
Yeah.
So would you like to start your Bobathon with small town Southern man, Alan Jackson? That's a 4.5 minute, and that's not a ditty. That's an opus.
Right.
That's a whole side of an LP. You've got your Bayou Boys, Eddie Raven, sure. Or I Love a Rainy Night, Eddie Rabbit.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough call.
I know.
Let's go with Eddie then.
Which one?
Eddie Rabbit. Oh, okay. Yeah. Rabbit, not
Raven. WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Faribault, KLC.